Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 89 of the car wash. On today's show, were Chiefs outclassed? Kevin Johnson to leave Al Ahly and Jelly hits 400 games for Orlando Pirates. Whether you're tuning in SL Podcast or Studio Today, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahi King 96.7 Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Roberts. And of course, I'm on loan. Please welcome Mr. Deko Modise.
Yes. How's things?
Things are just peachy, bro. How's things with you?
Just fantastic.
Fantastic, my boy. Well, in that essence, let's move on to the probably the best joke you've ever heard in your life. What color can open your vehicle? Khaki.
Wow.
Khaki.
All right.
You get it?
I've got no words for you. Yeah, I got it. Khaki.
Are you sure? Usually you laugh at me, but khaki as a color.
No, just that I'm just
amazed.
I think things are getting worse.
Thank you. I appreciate it, which means I'm doing well. From there, let's move into pole position. Pole position is the segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club certain questions and get voice note replies. This week we asked you, was it the defense or attack that left Chiefs down against Sundowns? And this is what you all said.
Chiefs, from the first whistle, they come with 7 defenders. Which means it's 5 defenders plus 2 defensive. Meaning they were willing not to risk. So it means they were defensive the whole day. So I think that was a bad move for Kaizer Chiefs coach.
Kaizer Chiefs defense, I won't say that. Defense, it. Guna laileka kona somewhere somehow. Yaleka it defense it. At least mamanga trau balanti. I think so far. But laileka say against Sundowns. Truly speaking, they played very well.
The answer is simple. This was defense because we have too many defenders on the field and they didn't do their job to defend. Yes, the attack, but attack was unfortunately, but the defense was terrible.
The only place I played. TBE defense. There was no communication. That's the only place that cost the game.
Stuart Baxter must stop his favoritism when coming to players. Because what I'm seeing now, this guy is destroying our players one by one.
I don't understand Manu Baxter, man. Kaizer Chiefs not going anywhere for Baxter.
The only place I play TBE defense.
He was very defensive for Kulugi Akime Sundowns.
Just that I'm disappointed with the defense and communication also. The goalkeeper is very poor. That 2 goals that we conceded yesterday, it was such a silly goal that we shouldn't have.
Right, Tex, I mean, it's you know, a mixed bag there. Obviously, a lot of people not happy the fact there are possibly too many defenders in the field and we're lacking up front. So I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. I think it's, after watching the game, I think, look, Chiefs were unlucky. I think I could have gone either way in the first 45 without a doubt. Onyango making an absolute pearl of a save, and that's the difference between having a world-class keeper in your squad. Tex, attack or defense or a bit of both? What do you think?
Look,
were Chiefs completely outclassed? I mean, let's move into the discussion reaction.
No, I don't think so. No, they were not outclassed. To be honest with you, I think Chiefs, I think they looked better than it's been a while since I've seen Chiefs looking that good.
I agree.
And I think on that day, I think they looked very structured. They looked very organized, and they had to plan and put personalities according to who the opponents were. Mm. I understand the frustrations from the fans. You want to have more attacking players on the pitch. You want to have this, you want to have that. But also you want to be defensively solid as well. You want to have your structure very well, especially playing against Mamelodi Sundowns. I think his Chiefs had a good game, and I think they had a good strategy. Look, Onyango at the end of the day, I think made a difference, and that kept Mamelodi Sundowns in the game. That helped Mamelodi Sundowns to find a rhythm a little bit and find ways out to score goals. And I think Kaizer Chiefs had bad opportunities to do so as well, whether they have chances or not. And I strongly believe that irrespective of the penalty that was missed by Kaizer Chiefs, I think on the day, Kaizer Chiefs had a fantastic game. It was a fantastic game to watch. Mamelodi Sundowns also. I think Chiefs pushed Mamelodi Sundowns to do better. Mamelodi Sundowns pushed Chiefs to do better. So both teams were pushing each other. And for me, it was a great game to watch, irrespective of the scoreline.
Yeah. And as a Chiefs fan, as a neutral, or the fans out there, what can you pinpoint to say, well, look at this as a positive compared to last season? I mean, what has Baxter got Chiefs doing that possibly didn't happen last season? Is it all confidence? Is what would you say is the most exciting thing about Chiefs at the moment?
I think the most exciting thing in the Kaizer Chiefs camp, I think it's the belief. One, I'll tell you that when they walk onto the pitch, you can tell. You can see the confidence. You can see how they walk, their postures. It's very different from how they were last season. And for me, those are signs. Like I look at those type of things, and that actually gives me an idea what type of game I'll be watching then. And you also for what I can say to the Chiefs fans is you want to build a very strong team. You want to, like, for instance, if you want to build a house, you need to build a very strong foundation.
Sure.
And this is what the other coach is trying to do with the team. Defensively, Kaizer Chiefs has been struggling for a couple of years. He's trying to have that defensive solidness, and once that is figured out, and then you can really start focusing on certain things. And I think you're getting, there's no better test than playing against Mamelodi Sundowns and see how defensively structured you are or how strong you are. Because I honestly feel that there's a lot of players that played well on that day, especially for Kaizer Chiefs side. You've got Blom, who had an exceptional game on the right back, who is not a right back, by the way. Started as a central midfielder and changed accordingly when subs were made, and then he went back to the right back. Yet, you had that type of versatility. And of course, you have Mamelodi Sundowns players as well that dominated the midfield, that bossed it off. But it was like a nice battle to see. But like I said, that strong foundation, I think there's a lot of positive that Kaizer Chiefs fans can take from this. And I'm sure that the players themselves and the technical staff, they've looked at the positive and trying to build on it. And I think as a Kaizer Chiefs fan, if you want to win certain things, don't focus on one game. Mamelodi Sundowns game, it's not a championship decider.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Keegan Dolly's progress, are you happy the way he's coming on?
No, look, to be honest with you, I still need to give Keegan time to readjust into the league and to find his fitness as well, and to understand where exactly his strengths are, because it's been a while since I've seen Keegan Dolly. Even when he comes to the national team, he plays as a winger, half winger. So I need to really, really, really study him and figure out what he plays. But I think he brings a different dimension into the team. So it'll be very interesting to see him and Lebo playing as those creative midfielders.
Yes,
and I think, so, but also it compromises the midfield defensively.
Yes.
So I think for them to be on the same pitch at the same time, they need to be also doing their defensive duties. Otherwise, one needs to sit out, and it's up to them to make it work, to coexist in the same team and be productive at the same time.
So, well said. And just in terms of what we spoke about last week, is this another sign of seeing the current Sundowns squad not the, I wouldn't say world class, but certainly a powerhouse of a team that we witnessed over the last few seasons? Is this another suggestion that they did not completely outplay Chiefs? And just remember now, this is a Chiefs team that is rebuilding. Is this another sign that Sundowns isn't that powerhouse that we've come to know?
I think it'll be very sad if Sundowns completely started dominating at the PSL. Again, and then that would be telling us that other teams are not improving, other teams are not getting stronger, And this is a sign that actually tells you that it's going to be a tough season, not only for Sundowns, but for everybody involved. And the teams are getting better. Players are getting better. The competition now begins, it becomes tougher now. And it's nice to see early on as to who's who. Some may say that the season is still young, you know, still it's too early to tell. But we've seen the movie where the season starts when the team is number 16 and it ends there.
Sure.
For the rest of the season, and we've seen
especially in the PSL.
We've seen also where Kaizer Chiefs were number one on the log for the whole season until the last day of the season.
Yeah.
So we've seen a certain moments where things can change, but I'm just saying that I think Sundowns also, as much as they're trying to find their feet, as much as they're trying to do things differently, other teams are getting stronger, and I think Sundowns are aware of that, that other teams are getting stronger. But what you can also rely on is, and I think the coaches would be happy if that happens, is when things are tough, your experience and quality will show.
Yes.
And I think when you have that in abundance, it gives you an edge, it gives you an advantage. But there's no need to have so many quality players and then they can't perform.
Yeah.
So now with all the players that have been given opportunity now, especially to play, is have a pool of players that are ready to play when things are tough. We all know how things get in the second round, and then you have a number of players that you can pull from and be able to use.
Yeah, 100%. And just quickly, as touched on, there's been a few things in the news about Kaizer Chiefs needing another striker, but unable to do that unless they offload a current foreign spot to if they needed to go foreign, because I can't see anything local that is available and on a free. Having said that, yesterday, whether it's confirmed or not, that Castro will be back at the end of September to start training with the team. So that in effect would fall away. If Castro wasn't available, would you be concerned up front for Chiefs?
Look, I wouldn't be that concerned up front for Chiefs. I think you have players that can occupy that type of a position, but it's just that I think it goes down to the coach as to how he wants to use his players, or what kind of formation that he wants to use. Because you're still trying to buy a striker. You still have Kama that hasn't scored for you. You have Nokovic that is not at his best right now. He's still trying to find himself. You've got Keegan Dolly that is capable of scoring and is still new in the team, trying to gel with the team. You've got Lebo Manyama that scores, gives you at best, when he's at his best, he gives you 8 to 10 goals a season. That's just come back from injury, so he's going to need time to readjust into the team. So there's a lot of things that you need to consider before you can think that the striker is the solution into these things. Because it's not about Kaizer Chiefs not scoring goals; it's Kaizer Chiefs conceding goals.
Yeah. Yes.
So a striker is not gonna solve that problem. And I remember I think a headline says, money thrown in is not gonna solve Kaizer Chiefs issues.
I think straight backs have said that.
Yeah, I think straight backs have said that. So I don't think now it's the striker's issue, because now when you're saying that you need a striker, which you're saying Nokovic is not gonna cut it, then but it's just for me, it's finding players still gonna find themselves, and once you have that camaraderie and that fluidity within the team, things will start falling into place, and you see players contributing positively into the results. But now it's just because Kaizer Chiefs aren't winning too many games or consistent like that, so you're thinking of, oh, we need a striker, but you're forgetting that every game that you're playing, you're conceding.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's possibly the defense that needs to be looked at, or there's certainly enough quality around the field for this to be a championship team, in my opinion. So certainly exciting things to come. There's just some quick reactions. Takes Pirates versus Swallows. Pirates winning an important local derby, Soweto derby. Massive result for Pirates. I think if they lost that one, there would have been more changes in the coaching room for sure. You know, just to go on what Fadlu was saying, they're in the process of trying to fix the team, and most important, the performance. If they can perform this way as they did, with more fluidity in their attack, more domination from the start to finish, and be able to do it for a certain period, that would be good. So talking about the inconsistency in the parts, and possibly the loss of identity we've spoken about. A little bit of a different Pirates team, a bit more compact, a bit more, positive in terms of where they play. But again, Swallows weren't on their best. How did you see that team? How do you see that game? Sorry.
Look, not many people impressed as to how Orlando Pirates played, and I get when the coach comes out and speak positiveness into the team. I get that because that's what you want. You want also when your players hear those type of statements, they can say, "Okay, guys, we get in there."
No. Yeah.
Look, there's still an identity crisis that still needs to be sorted out.
Yes.
Not necessarily the team, but the players themselves. You know, they there's a lot of players that needs to come out of their shells and be able to start performing for the club, and from that I think you have, you know, a lot of individuals that are good, and then you try and find and build a team around them. But I still feel like there's a lot of changes that's happened. Yes, it was exciting. There's new faces, but with those new faces, we still want to check who's who.
Yeah,
you know, the results are not guaranteed, but yes, they won an important game, came back into the winning ways, and also you did it with a team that actually gives you so much stress, you know, to win a game. So I think that's a positive that you can take. That's the positive that you can take from that game, and also the bravery of the coach giving new players an opportunity that not necessarily new players, but players that have been given a chance to play, and in such an important game. I think that's the positive. I think that will work. That will work in their favor going forward.
I agree. Yeah, a brave move from both coaches. So hopefully that's more bravery to come. And Brandon Trutter, you know, he wasn't pleased, especially in the offensive play. They didn't create enough chances, and they weren't creative enough, I would say. But draw specialists, I think we did call it a draw, didn't we? I can't remember. But anyway, 3 points
no,
for Pirates.
That's a Pirates was going to win.
Did you say?
Yes, sir.
I think I called a draw. AmaZulu versus SuperSport. We saw Benny going off his rocker. Is this pressure, Teko? Is this what pressure does to a coach at that level? I mean, we know Benny is, I wouldn't say a hothead, but you know, he's outspoken. He speaks his truth and whatnot. But he really went off. Do you think that's a bit of pressure showing in the camp? I think it's one win out of the last 9 games for Amazon, just to put in context.
Yeah, I don't look. I think every coach is under pressure to perform, to do well, and I think there's especially with what AmaZulu has done last season. I think the expectation, the stakes are a little bit higher this time around, and people now need to step up a little bit. You know, you can't come back with the same performance as last season. You need to step up a little bit, and of course sometimes because you in the game. I think Benny, he's that kind of a coach that is involved, is in the game. Mm-hmm. And of course, because you're so emotionally attached to it, you know, you're not gonna say things or do things that you can look back and say I'm proud of that. You're gonna do a mistake, you know, and this is part of the game. This is what the game is. You're gonna do a mistake, but your intentions was not to do so, you know, because at the end of the day you wanna win, and I think Benny is a winner. He wants to win, and I strongly and Sean, I'm not condoning that, but I also want to say to South African fans, I think we need to allow coaches to be themselves.
Agreed.
I think we need to allow coaches to be very expressive, because once we still have South Africans that love Jose Mourinho because of how expressive he is, and we can't allow our own coach to be so. So I think we need to allow that space for us to grow in football, for that space to grow. We need to allow such coaches to be very expressive as to how they feel, because they their jobs are on the line.
Yeah. Are you saying we need more Mushin Itrigals out there?
I think we need more coaches. Yeah, but Mushin type of way. But we need coaches, not necessarily coaches that have balls, but coaches that have character. Coaches that have you know, that gives the game something. You know, because at the end of the day, when you do your post-match, you're not doing your post-match for the interview, you're doing your post-match for the fans. You want the fans to understand how the game went. Yeah. And when you're frustrated, you want your fans to see and react to your frustrations. It shows that you care, you know. So we need to allow those type of spaces to exist. We need to allow those type of personalities to exist, because football is visitor. So we can't be sanctioning people because they said something. Because at the end of the day, if you look at it, like how many years we've been complaining about the referees, and the referees have got no accountability. Yeah. Nobody from the referee has come and said, "Hey guys, sorry, man. You know, you remember last week we were wrong there, and we like to apologize." Yeah. At that time, the coach is fired, the players are getting fired, the players are not playing, players are not getting paid. So there's a lot of accountability that needs to be done. So allow the coaches to express themselves as long as they do that within the rules of the PSL.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. We need a bit more character in the PSL in general after all the negativity that's been happening in terms of purchasing teams and whatnot. Onto a happier note as well, Happy Jele making 400 appearances for Orlando Pirates. A lot of people are backing him to make 500. I'm not convinced about that, especially if he's on a year-to-year contract. But yeah, I mean, do you know who's second to Happy in terms of appearances for Pirates?
I think right now, or in all-time appearances.
Yeah.
I think it's William Okpara.
Yes, well done. Well done.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah, well done. I mean, yeah, Happy, the epitome of a captain, the epitome of a true professional. Lovely guy off the field as well. Beautiful family. It couldn't have happened to a nicer person.
Yeah, man.
Do you think he'll reach for 500?
No. No, like, I would love that to happen.
Yeah.
But the reality is, he doesn't play 30 games a season anymore.
Yeah.
So for him to get to that, it's going to take him
3 years, 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years. And we know how South Africa is. When you reach a certain age, you're not being played, not because of you're not good. It's just that you're 34. Nobody wants to play you because you're 34, not because you're not good. But I strongly believe that this, the achievement that he is, you know, that he finds himself in, I think not many players can, especially from big clubs like Orlando Pirates, you need to survive that long. And to be able to be received in this way, I think that's wonderful. And I think I truly believe that he wasn't playing probably maybe to find himself as the most the player with the most appearances. But he gave everything to the club, and I strongly believe that the club will do so when the time is right. And all Happy needs to do now is just continue going back to doing what you love, which is playing football. Whenever you need it, be ready and stay injury free and help the team to succeed.
100%. Pirates was his first club, right? Did he come through the ranks?
Yeah, no, he came from this. You remember Coca-Cola what? Coca-Cola.
Yes, okay.
Stuff. Yeah, we found him on the freeway. Then one, he was busy hiking, coming to Joburg for trials. We're like, hey, come this side, why not?
And look how dreams can come true. Unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
So I'm happy for Happy. See what I did there?
Yeah.
From there, we move on to the international news desk. We are joined by Soccer Laguma's legendary international news correspondent, Mr. Kurt Buckerfield. Kurtie boy, how are you?
I'm good, Shawnee boy. How are you?
Hey, Kurt. How are you, Chief?
Good. Nice to hear from you guys.
Yeah, and you, my bud. A couple of surprising results in the UEFA Champions League. Do you want to touch us on that, please, my pal?
Well, of course, we'll start with that Manchester United game.
Sure.
I'm not sure if you guys watched it, but very, very underwhelming performance. Very poor performance. I've had an issue with the right back, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, for a long time now. I don't think that he's good enough to play for a Premier League side, let alone a Champions League side. So, disappointed with his red card, obviously, which changed the game.
Have you voiced your opinion to Man United of your dislike for him?
I have been in contact with him. just watching him, he doesn't really pass the eye test. And I know that some players, you get anomalies, like players like Mikel Antonio at West Ham, who doesn't really look like a footballer, but he scores goals and he's effective as
hell. That's the job, yeah.
So you get those kinds of players, but Aaron Wan-Bissaka, unfortunately, doesn't really contribute much elsewhere. I know a lot of people will say, well, he's solid defensively. I was looking at stats yesterday
stats don't lie, Kurt.
Affirm my fury. And I think he's made three tackles in five games this season. And he doesn't progress the ball. He doesn't go forward with it. He's not really a good attacking outlet. So I'm just not really sure what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sees in him. But anyway, this is turning into, you know, a rant. But it was a poor performance. United were very, very poor after getting a red card. I'm not sure why Solskjaer tried to, you know, close the game up at halftime already. That was always going to be difficult, especially in front of an away crowd. So yeah, that was a big shock defeat. Then Bayern beating Barcelona 3-0. That's less shocking, of course.
Sure.
Today.
Sure.
And then I think the other standout fixtures were Wednesday night's games. PSG's 1-1 draw with Club Bruges.
That's unbelievable, right?
That was the game I decided to watch.
Yeah, I was watching that as well.
And, Teko, what did you think? I thought it was...
I think Club Bruges had a proper game plan. And I think most of the time PSG was struggling to find themselves.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of players that are still trying to figure out how to play with Messi in the team. I think they know how to play with Neymar. But they're struggling to find how to play with Messi because he was playing out wide on the right-hand side. For me, it's not effective. If you want to find Messi, my friend, create a position where he's free and he does what he does. Yeah. But also you also don't want to do that by also depleting the structure of the team. So I think also they needed this game, you know, to realize that, hey guys, we're actually not, we've got good players, but we're not performing very well.
So exactly. It looked like every PSG fan's worst nightmare where you have a team full of superstars, but zero cohesion.
Yeah.
You have such great players on that field. Of course, the big ones, Lionel Messi, Kylian Mbappe and Neymar. And it looked like they had never kicked a ball with one another. But that said, it was just their first game. And Club Bruges played really well. You can see that they had a game plan, like you just said. And they pulled it off. So, yeah, very underwhelming performance from PSG. At the midfield, pressing. It was a weird game. Very weird performance from a Pochettino coached side. Usually his sides have such energy and don't stop running for 90 minutes, but there were times where it was very static. Everybody was standing still. Teko, I think you'll remember as the game progressed, Messi was having to come into midfield, into deep areas in midfield to try and make something happen. And nobody was moving. That left back looked good when he came on, that youngster, Nuno Mendes. He was really good. But then, what was your reaction to the City game, 6-3?
Sean?
Yeah, I didn't see the game, Curtsy, to be honest. But to concede 3 goals is a bit concerning either way. But obviously to score 6, I think Jack Grealish got on the score sheet as well, first Champions League goal. So
yeah,
I think scoring 6 is next level, but to concede 3, and the game was at home, right?
Home game, yeah.
I mean, amazing, great results, but again, to concede 3 is a bit, I wouldn't say concerning, just a bit bizarre. If you're scoring 6, why are you conceding 3, right?
Yeah, and that was Grealish's first ever Champions League game at 26 years old. I don't know if you guys saw how Pep was giving him an absolute scolding, and Mahrez, for a lack of defensive work. Those pictures. They're amazing.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was just typical Pep. But then Liverpool beat AC Milan 3-2.
Yes.
Jordan Henderson winner. I think they came back. Yeah, they were 2-1 down at the stage and they came back to win that. Then Real Madrid with a late win over Inter Milan.
Yeah.
Eduardo Camavinga getting an assist there in his first Champions League game.
And that was away, I think.
Away at home, yeah. I think the goal came in the 89th minute or the 90th minute.
Wow.
Dortmund with a 2-1 win over Besiktas. I watched a bit of that game. Jude Bellingham became the youngest player to score in consecutive Champions League games, breaking Kylian Mbappe's record, and the youngest player to score in an away Champions League game.
I just want to ask a question. Did you watch that game?
Because I strongly bits of it, yes.
Because I feel like Dortmund has, you know, every signs that this is a team that actually can go all the way. Why are they failing to make the finals with such a great team, with such energy? Because I watched a little bit of them, you know, because they play very good football. They've got, you know, the energies are very high. Holland is crazy, and that Bellingham boy in the midfield, you know, the team looks solid. So why aren't they able to you know, to get the best results in terms of the Champions League?
I think they struggle to keep that intensity up throughout a season. I think Dortmund are very, very inconsistent. And this is the way they've been since Klopp left, since Tuchel left. They can't keep up that level of intensity and energy from August until May. They go through these periods of losing games that should be winning in the Bundesliga. And maybe that's also takeoff because, you know, a lot of these guys that they rely on, Erling Haaland, Jude Bellingham, these guys are 18 and 20 years old, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's...
It's insane.
Yeah, you've of course got Marco Reus and you've got Mats Hummels and you've got these experienced guys around them. But the key performers for Dortmund, the guy who win their matches, the guys who win their matches at least, are really young. And I think that to demand like that level of consistency over 9 months or whatever is just, it's hard. And I don't think that you'll see a team like Dortmund winning the Champions League, because when you get to those knockout rounds, when you get to the quarterfinals and semifinals, it comes down to know-how and experience. And that's where they probably fall slightly short, but it's very entertaining. And that Jude Bellingham kid, who's 18 years old.
That boy.
Oh, he's just phenomenal. And, you know, he's already playing for England. I think he probably should have a bigger role on that side. If we remember, guys, he had his jersey number retired at Birmingham when he left for Dortmund last year.
Yeah, I remember,
dude. Which is pretty crazy.
I even asked myself, well, who is this boy?
Dude, that is ridiculous.
No, he's really, really good. But, no, an entertaining... week of football, guys.
Yeah, I mean, let's move on before you start pants there, Kurt, over Jude Bellingham. So South Africa has thrown their hat in the ring to host the 2021 FIFA World Cup in December. This comes after Japan has dropped their commitment to host the global tournament because of COVID-19 pandemic, having staged the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games, which is very bizarre. Danny Jordan has now confirm this, which means if they do host it, I think Sundowns automatically qualify, right?
Yeah, so the Club World Cup, it's obviously a knockout tournament and it's seven teams, six continental champions. So like the Champions League winners, the UEFA Champions League winners, the CAF Champions League winners, and then you'll get the host nations league winners. So of course, in this case, it would be Sundowns. Not really sure of the status right now. The story came out a few days ago. I did reach out to Safa to try and get a comment, got nothing back, but it looks like Danny Jordan is going to be speaking to a few people, and they're going to try and make this work.
And this is while he's under severe investigation from the Hawks, right?
I know. So look, it's an exciting opportunity. I think most fans in South Africa would love to see it happen, but
yeah.
I'm just confused as to, you know, will the stadiums allow for full venues? I'm not really sure.
Don't be confused, Kurt. Don't be confused.
Yeah, but look, it's exciting. I'd love to see it happen, of course.
Kurt's angry and confused constantly, being a United fan.
That's the life, guys. I mean,
But that's, we love having you on, Kurt, but you also love having to say goodbye to you because we've just had enough.
Fair enough, Sean.
But thank you, my boy.
Cheers, guys.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Katie.
See you.
Teko, I just want to touch on Hlompho Kekana, his situation at Sundowns. You know, literally... the past 18 months, or 18 months ago, or a year ago, he's a club legend. He still is a club legend. He's a hero. And now I wouldn't say they want him out, but certainly I think he still feels that he's got more kilometers in his legs to play another season or two, which is not going to happen at Sundowns. So, Teko, what would you do in this situation? Whereas, and you could probably answer the question because this possibly happened to you. He's been offered apparently an ambassadorial role at Sundowns, which he feels he doesn't want to take at the moment because he wants to go play for another season or two. but that offer may not be there in the next year or two. So what would you do as Lumpo? You've sort of achieved everything there is to achieve in the local game. You've probably earned the money you want to earn in the local game, but your fire and passion is still to play, but you've now got a long-term vision and goal or job in front of you, which we've spoken about at length, but you know, the transition from playing to not playing and how hard it is for players to get a job in the inverted commas normal world. He has an offer now from Sundowns, from what we've heard allegedly, but he still wants to play. Tekka, what would you do in this situation? Would you look after your future, i.e. take an ambassadorial role at Mamelodi Sundowns, where you've been the last 10 seasons, or would you go follow your dream a bit more and go play?
Look, I would.
It's a big question.
Yeah, I know. And it's just that, Sean, it also depends on the person's character.
Yeah.
The person involved. Because personally, for me, I would never, you know, advise anybody to retire just because somebody said so. I think one should retire when they're ready and when they're happy to do so, because
that's a great answer.
Because after that, you can't take it back. It's no longer the same. And when you come into the professional setup, nobody tells you or gives you that time that this is your time for you to come in. So when you retire, don't allow anybody to tell you otherwise. And yeah. Secondly, I feel like you need to play as much as you can until you feel like you can no longer do.
Yeah.
Irrespective of where you want to play, because there's a lot of people that retired when they thought they were ready, and post-retirement, you know, there's stress. The stress that comes with that, because you're no longer earning the same salary that you were earning.
Of course,
you
know, of course.
Now you can't rely on talent.
Yes.
Now you have to actually start working, you know, put in the work. Yeah. And that's what I said in the beginning, that it actually depends on the character of the person. So for me, to a person that actually I played with for such a long time and I won so many trophies with him, I would say play until you feel like you no longer want to play, irrespective of where you want to play. And if what's meant for you will come to you. What is meant for you will be there.
Of course.
You know,
the universe, right?
Exactly. So yeah. So for me, it's what's important is happiness, because I've always said that I want to be in an environment where it's my sanity is intact, I'm happy and I'm at peace. If something that disturbs those things, I won't be part of that. And I strongly believe that I wanted to play more because I wanted to find myself and I wanted to find my sanity and peace. And once that was done, I was the first one to actually raise my hand and say I retire. I didn't wait for anybody to tell me otherwise. Mm. And I made my choice long time ago that once I find my sanity and peace, I'm happy. Not because of you want certain things or you've got no desire anymore. I always had a desire. We can go back and get the stats of my last season at Cape Town City.
The stats.
Yeah, my desire was always there, but it also it's now you're getting interest in certain things. You mature, you grow, now you find you're looking at football differently than you were as a youngster. And I strongly feel like, you know, Sompo can push as long as he wants to, because hey, it's tough out here. It's not easy.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast yesterday called The School of Greatness by Lewis Howes. He is an ex-NFL player. Just listen to it. And he was saying, growing up, his parents never celebrated his birthday. And when he got to 12 or 13 or 14, he started asking, like, Mom, Dad, like, you don't love me anymore. Or whatever the story is. He says, no. He says, we made the decision the minute you put a number on the years that you're growing up is the minute you start limiting yourself in life.
Mm.
So we never want to limit you to your age. And he obviously went on and continued to attract great things in his life. So I think with Kekana being 35, 36, whatever he is, I mean, it's just a number, right? He's top class in my opinion. If he wants to go play, he must go play. And the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah, no. He needs to play until he doesn't, you know, his legs doesn't. He needs to play until he's satisfied. And I think he's satisfied. Correct. Right now.
Correct. Yeah, I completely agree. Just a quick one. When Percy Tau signed for Al Ahly, there was no sign of Kevin Johnson, and reports this week saying that Kevin Johnson's actually left Al Ahly, allegedly left Al Ahly. Tekka, your ear to the ground. Have you heard anything? And if so, where do you think he would fit in back in the PSL if the PSL was for him to come back?
Look, you one would think if the rumors are true, you looking at Kevin Jones, you probably want to be around your family more.
Sure.
And also the just the bark of being the head coach, you know, that those responsibilities, I think that drives you, you know, the pressure and all the type of stuff. So I probably maybe that would be one reason that why he would want to come back. Mm-hmm. And the guy just won Champions League, guys, you know. Yeah. So he's nice.
Give us credit.
Yeah. And I think within the South African structure, there's a lot of we need his expertise, we need his brain, we need such coaches like this. And him being back, I think it creates a little bit of excitement, as much as a little bit of pressure on so many coaches that are not doing well. Mm-hmm. So him being available, I think it is going to be very exciting to see. So I just hope that if it's whatever happens, you know, it's done on a good term.
Yeah, I agree. I like Kevin as a person as well. I think he's a good coach. He's got a good eye for talent. So yeah, let's hope we see him back on our shores ASAP. Let's move on to place your bets. Couple of crackers coming up this weekend, Teko. Swallows coming off a loss against SuperSport United. It's coming off a frustrating draw. I see another draw in that. Where do you see that going, Tex?
Look, do you reckon Swallows will draw again?
That's all they do, bud.
I'll give them an opportunity to win.
Against United, SuperSport United?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going for a Swallows win. Okay, interesting. Aiden, make sure you're writing these down, please. Arrows, AmaZulu, Durban, Derby. AmaZulu, as we just said, coming off a frustrating draw. Arrows, a toughie. I'm going for another draw.
I'll go for AmaZulu.
Victor.
Yeah, because Benny always finds ways how to come back. Yeah, to bounce back. So I think he'll drill out in his players, especially this week. I know that there'll be a lot of changes because he'll be very unhappy, but I think he wants to bounce back and he'll do everything that he can, especially against Golden Arrows.
Yeah, I think we spoke last week how tough a game Arrows is away for any team, really. So yeah, that'll be a cracker. EPL, English Premier League, big London derby, Tottenham versus Chelsea. Tottenham coming off an embarrassing loss to another London derby last week against Crystal Palace. Chelsea on form, Tottenham at home. I'm going for a 2-2 draw. What are you going for, Tex?
Okay, Tottenham versus Chelsea. I give Tottenham just a narrow win. Because I strongly believe, as much as Chelsea have assembled, you know, good squad and all that stuff, they've got a big boy up front. I think Tottenham have a big boy also up front. And I think it's going to be one of those games of transition, open game for you defend this way, you defend the other way as well. So, but I think, you know, Tottenham can actually, you know, calm things down, especially from the
Tottenham
perspective. Yeah, Tottenham. Tottenham Hotspur.
You're going for a Tottenham win?
Yes.
Big one. Another big game. Palace coming off a great win against Tottenham, as I just said, against Liverpool, who are on a high off the Champions League win. I think Liverpool too strong for this one. What do you think, Tex?
Yeah, Crystal Palace. Mo Salah. Mahomes Salah.
I agree. Then we move on to this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This week in 2007, Swedish icon Zlatan Ibrahimovic made his 100th Serie A appearance spread out over two different teams. That was, of course, Juventus and then Inter Milan. On 18th of September in 1976, future Galactico and Brazilian star striker Ronaldo Luis Nazario da Lima, more simply known as Ronaldo, was born in Rio de Janeiro. R9 went on to have an illustrious career spanning 18 years, scoring 309 goals for club and country and winning countless trophies and individual awards, including 3 Ballon d'Ors. What a player he was. And on the 20th September 2007, Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho left the club by, inverted commas, mutual consent. The move was unexpected and reportedly was precipitated by confrontations between Mourinho and club owner Roman Abramovich. That was your football in history. So cool just going back in the years and remembering when this happened, but also scary that we're getting old, Teko.
Yeah, man.
Not cool. Let's move on to the car of the week. This week is a cracker. Hyundai have just landed the largest, most luxurious SUV, the Palisade, and it's landed in South Africa. Sporting three rows of seats, some good old-fashioned American styling, and an astounding array of standard features, this mammoth SUV has already captured the imagination of those who are serious about glamorous road trips and prep schooling carpooling. It's slightly bigger than the recently refreshed Hyundai Santa Fe and more lavishly appointed. You can choose between the 7- and 8-seater depending on the size of your family. It's the closest size to a Toyota Land Cruiser 300, which is one of its many more expensive natural competitors, and also goes up against the Volvo XC90, the Audi Q7, the BMW X5, the VW Caravelle and Touareg, as well as the Mercedes-Benz GLE and Land Rover Defender. It goes without saying that a car like the Palisade has a 5-star safety rating from the authorities. Apart from the usual bells and whistles and 7 airbags, safety equipment on the Palisade includes blind spot detection, rear cross traffic alert, and rear occupant alert. Retailing at just under 1 million rand, which is not really that overpriced if you think about what you're getting if you have a big family or you are a soccer mom. You see what I did there? Soccer mom. Mm-hmm. Soccer show, soccer pop. Yeah, thank you very much. I give it a 9 out of 10. Absolute beast of a vehicle. Go check it out, guys. But if you want to afford $1 million, we need a bit of motivation to get there, my man. Is it my turn?
Yes, sir.
That's my turn. Right. Often people are so consumed with what they are missing, they become blind to how much they actually have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a biggie. I think I put it on Insta a few days ago. But I think the tip around this, how to get past this, is really to be grateful, to write down what you're grateful for every morning. And again, I said last week or 2 weeks ago, that's exactly what I do. Every morning I write 10 things that I'm grateful for, put it in my pocket. When I put my hand in my pocket to get my keys, I've got this piece of paper, and then all of a sudden I'm in an attitude of gratitude. So I'm going to leave you with that one to think about.
Yeah, man.
And that is how we wrap up episode 89 of The Car Wash. Whether you've been listening on SR Podcast at co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 Game Time, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Mr. Sean Roberts, and of course, the legend, Teko Medise.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. And we will see you same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL Podcast. This is a Slangana car.